crank up the volume and get ready. It's time for Independent Artist Spotlight, right here on MusicRanchRadio.com.
All right, 7:04. We had to wait for the last song to get done. Great night tonight. We got, rock star Greg Creasy is our co-host here. And we also have Leroy Miller in the house.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
We don't, on Independent Spotlight, we don't usually get folks in the actual cubicle here, it's usually a call-in thing, but as it turns out, because you are now a local by way of LA and Washington State, and let's just kick it right off with a question, shall we?
Let's do it.
No, let's just do this. Tell us about where you're from, how you got to where you were, real quick.
I can do it quick. I was born in Walla Walla, Washington. I was raised in Spokane, and I moved down to Los Angeles when I was 18 years old to pursue music, and had a great run for many, many years. And the industry, the state, everything changed. My life changed. I was totally unhappy, totally depressed. I felt like I was dying. And I came up here a couple times, a couple years, to play at the Roman, and fell in love with it up here. Made friends with you.
Yeah.
And you said to me, you should just move up here. And I remember when I left that interview, I go, something's going to happen. I can feel it. And a month later, I was here, and I was producing a record up here, and I just said, this is my moment to bounce. So I got rid of all my stuff, packed everything I owned in my truck, and moved here.
And moved to Beverly.
This place does that to you.
Yeah, and I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it.
It was so funny because we did about a half-hour interview, I remember that day, and then we sat out front for about 3 hours.
I know, right?
That might be where that little crackle's coming from. Yeah, that might.
From this mic?
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah.
I'm the culprit, sorry.
No, we're good.
All right.
And we talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
And throughout the conversation, it was kind of funny because by process of elimination, you were figuring out why you were still in L.A., and it came up to a big zero.
Yeah. It was actually a minus. I was in the hole.
Yeah. So anyway, you moved up here, and but we got to talk a little bit about what happened in L.A. because you played with a lot of amazing people. You did your own stint. You did a stint in Nashville. So let's cover that as well.
Well, I mean, when I first moved down there, I always have had my own bands and fronted my bands as, the singer and lead guitarist and stuff. And so I kind of built up a little bit of a following playing on the Sunset Strip but I was living in Orange County actually. So I kind of would have to like drive up to Hollywood and stuff to play. And I used to rent big like party buses and just bus people up there. And that was a lot of fun. But I eventually said, I need to get close to the action. So I moved to the Hollywood area. And that's when it kind of all started to happen for me. I basically started playing in some popular local bands. And then I formed my own band once again. It was a power trio called Clover, and we were an amazing band. We used to have great like turnouts, selling out everywhere. And so basically what happened is every label in Hollywood wanted to sign my band, and we did all these recordings with producers, and we were like, man, we're going to make it, right? And in the end, nobody did sign us. We got tons of money for demos and stuff, and it was pretty exciting, but nobody signed us. And then the band kind of split apart, and I said, well, I'm not quitting my drive forward. So, I went out and got a loan against my old van produced my own record, because I've always, tinkered around in the studio since I was just like literally 14 years old. I had recording equipment thanks to my dad. And so I produced my own album, and I had it all ready. I was just about ready to get them pressed up. And Geffen Records came to one of my shows and signed me the next day.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I was signed to Geffen Records. It was pretty amazing. In fact, there was a guy in my band that was complaining about, we got to do better shows, man, this and that and the other. And the next day we got signed, and he actually got fired that night because he was a junkie. He never had equipment. These are all things that I didn't even know at the time. I was such a naive guy, you know, and I had this, like, just total maniac in my band. He was totally, like, an amazing performer, but he was a mess. And he never had equipment, and before every show, I'd have to go pick him up and then drive around Hollywood to get him equipment. And so we got him all this equipment, and then we're getting ready to play, and there's no strings on this guitar. So I run down to the Guitar Center, buy him some strings, come back. We got like 5 minutes, and I'm like, this guy is so fired. And then he starts whining about the venue and how small it is, because it was just this little tiny dump, you know, but it was an amazing place to play.
Sure.
And we got signed the next day, and I fired him that night. Oh, so I said, everything's cool, but I need a bass player. And the label's like, we got a guy lined up for you who wound up being the bass player of my band.
Awesome.
And everything worked out. And then after I sold about 5 records, they dropped me. I think my album went like Plywood.
Made number 2 on the British crap list.
Yeah, right, right. Oddly enough, though, my single was the number 1 most added song in the country for 5 weeks solid, but it just didn't translate to sales because you've got to have, it's a long story, but you got to have all the marketing in place when it's hot. Yep. You've got to have records in the stores. And they just weren't. They kind of botched my deal. So I was released from Geffen. And then really a short time after that, I got signed to Hollywood Records. And that's when I, it was a solo album and started going by Leroy. That first record deal was with my old band called Hog.
Hog.
Yeah, we were like kind of a cow punk.
Oh, yeah.
It was punk band with blues solos and sort of almost country sort of changes and beats once in a while. It was a ferocious band for sure. And but when I got signed to Hollywood, I was a solo artist. I didn't even have to do any showcases. They just heard some of my recordings and signed me. And it was really strange because I had worked so hard for so many years playing in my bands, doing gigs to make it. And then all of a sudden somebody just hears a recording of mine and signs me on the spot.
Now, do I have any of your early?
My first solo album?
Yeah.
I don't know. Good Time. I don't know if you have Good Time. That's kind of my biggest song, actually, Good Time, which was on my first solo album. It's been in a ton of movies and TV shows. And
yeah, that was on
Scrubs. And it was in a movie called Driven and Laurel Canyon and a few more.
No, you would think I would have that one, but I don't. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
That video, that song's been used in all these videos on YouTube. And I started counting up all the views, and I stopped counting at 10 million.
Oh, God. Wow.
I'm like, dang, I wish I would have got the ad rev on all that.
What album was that on?
It was my first solo album. It was just self-titled, called Leroy.
Leroy.
Yeah, Leroy and Hollywood Records.
So I've got Temple and Walla Walla and Off the Rails.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, let me look here. I might have it. No,
I'm still playing a handful of those songs live. Just last week when we played down at the Front Bar, we played Good Time and we played Ricochet.
Yeah.
And we played, I think maybe one more song off there. It's a great album.
Well, I've got everything but that album. I've got your Dropbox that you sent me, so I'm going to blame it on you.
Yeah,
if that's okay.
I can send you. I'll send it to you so you can.
Well, let's kick off with a tune called "So Tired."
All right,
and then we're coming back because now we've got the bass set.
Yes,
and then we got to go from there.
Okay, so cool.
Here's Leroy Miller with "So Tired."
Thank you. so tired.
There you go, Leroy Miller. Wow, that was heavy, man.
Nice. I love that song. I love playing that song live so much.
It's so smooth.
It's just open. It's got a lot of air. It's weird how much silence in songs can be like the most important thing. And it has so much space and openness to it.
Exactly.
And then it's mostly just guitar playing, you know. I get there's like a couple of long solos and one verse that I sing over and over. I mean, it's a strange sort of arrangement as far as like verse, chorus, solo, chorus. It's just like this movement, this thing that happens, and it's just so much fun to play. And I always just get deep on that song. I love it.
Well, the cool thing about the stuff that, and like I said, I've got so many different albums, like Walla Walla is just a whole different departure from what you might see you do a lot of live shows.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're so diverse like that. I mean, you know, you play a hard rocker and just rip the lips off it, and then you come back with it.
I love that.
You come back with this. With this real subtle, smooth, you know, almost a jazzy blues feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. And so let's start back where we were, and because now we got to talk about how you got to traveling all over the world and playing with Smash Mouth and, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, it all kind of, the whole, like, Smash Mouth thing happened because we had the same manager, a guy named Robert Hayes, very cool guy, super great manager. And at one point, I opened for Smash Mouth for like a month on the road, and those guys were really cool guys. They were just the only headliner I've ever opened for that actually came to every show and watched us play.
Wow.
nobody's ever even come to my show when I open for them. But they were at every show, the whole band, sitting together watching us. And, you know, we were laying it down, so I'm sure they were digging like the guys in my band, too. I had some amazing players in that particular band, that touring group. And so when their guitar player, Greg Camp, who wrote all those hits and was he started that band. He started having children, and he wanted to stay home and be a dad, which is, you know, honorable. And so he said, listen, guys, I have to duck out. And so they said, wow, well, we need to continue making money and touring. So they go, what are we going to do? And the singer said, call Leroy. Because I had actually played guitar on one on that singer, Steve Harwell. I played guitar on his solo album before any of this.
Right.
He liked my playing and hired me to play guitar on his album. So I did that. And so he kind of knew what I was capable of doing on stage and in the studio. So he felt, I think Leroy can figure this out. So they called me up one day and they said, yeah, you want to join the band? Now, keep one thing in mind. They had been calling me to join their band for like 3 or 4 years. And Greg kept going, oh, forget it, I'll do it. And he'd go do the gigs. And then he'd go, oh, I'm going to quit. So eventually they finally said, he's out. We need you. I'm like, okay, yeah, right now is a great time. I'm really not doing anything, so I would love to do it. And they said, can you learn 25 songs? I said, sure, no problem. And they said, cool, the first gig's in 4 days. And I was like, you son of a... Because, you know, learning 25 songs is whatever. It's not the end of the world, but in 4 days is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I just went out and bought a huge bottle of like aspirin and just stayed up for 4 days and learned all these tunes. And then I met him in Denver for the first show, 10,000 people. Our sound check was our only rehearsal. I found out right then that I knew the songs better than they did. Because they were all like tired and beat up and kind of, you know, over it. And I was like, this has got to be perfect. And so, you know, they were kind of pleased about that. So I kind of re-energized them a little bit. And we toured for about 2 years and we went to Japan. We went all over Canada, everywhere in the United States. Actually got a chance to go to Guantanamo Bay and visit the camp.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that was really intense, let me tell you. I stood about 10 feet away from some Taliban dudes, and they were looking at me like, I'm coming for you, dude. They did not. They were like looking at my skinny ass and long hair and my sunglasses, and they're like, we are just going to absolutely take all that from you. And I was like, yeah, bring it, dude. I'm up Montana now. I got a shotgun now. Come get me. So anyways, so that's how that happened. But like working with like John Mayer and stuff like that, being a record producer and a songwriter and just a creator myself, the guy that produced John Mayer, killer producer, mixer, a guy named Jack Joseph Puig, Jack had mixed my first solo album. So Jack said, listen, I'm going to produce this new record for John Mayer, and I want you to be there with me. And so that's kind of how that happened. It was kind of this back and forth thing a little bit, but eventually it all kind of went down and I went out to New York for 9 days. And ultimately I wound up doing beats for him. I didn't even play guitar. So it was kind of interesting, you know, because I do all the sound creation other than, you know, outside of guitar and vocals. I also create beats and program sounds and do sound design. So he wanted all these dusty old beats behind his music. And so that's kind of what I did for him there.
Now, what about Macy Gray?
Now, Macy Gray is an interesting story because when I had got signed to Hollywood Records as a solo artist, I had this amazing demo, right? And so they were like, you know, we want you to work with some producers. So they hooked me up with every producer in Hollywood, and nobody could beat my recordings. So I finally got to work with this guy who's an amazing, he's kind of like me, but like way more successful. And his name is Peter Mokrin. And he's basically, Peter did every R. Kelly song there is.
Oh, wow.
And he's really, really great at programming and making beats and stuff. And they thought, wow, the two of you guys together would be an incredible thing. So I did this song called Trans Am with him. And the label thought it was a little bit too R&B for me. And so ultimately he didn't produce it. And I did. I wound up producing the record with a guy named Rob Cavallo, who was actually the head of the, him and his dad ran the record label. And Rob produced, you know, all the Green Day stuff, Dave Matthews, Alanis Morissette, Phil Collins. And he's a massive producer. Yeah. And so he co-produced that record with me. And so a few years go by and I get a phone call from my friend Peter, and he's like, hey man, he's like, I'm in the studio with Macy Gray right now and we're writing this song called Love Life, and we're writing it over your song Trans Am. I'm like, what? And they're like, she loves that track. And they're like, so do you mind if we use it? And I'm like, nope, just cut me in as a third songwriter and it's all yours, baby. So they kind of hemmed and hawed over that. And I go, if you want my song, you got to cut me in as a third songwriter.
So yeah, they were taking which part?
They used my entire track, just pulled the vocal off, and she sang another line over it. And it was amazing what she did. I was like, that's so cool. Because it was totally, I would have never done it that way, you know?
Yeah.
And so it wound up being the song called Love Life. And then down the road, I bumped into her at a restaurant and went over and introduced myself to her. And she was so kind to me. I was shocked because I, you know, I didn't know what to think, you know. But I go, this is my moment to, like, let her know that she sang one of my songs, basically. And she totally knew who I was and was the sweetest person. Yeah, I swear, I was just like, oh my gosh, she's so kind. So she was her sweetheart. I really liked her. And I've always been a huge fan of hers. In fact, the guy that produced that first album, Daryl Swan, he used to be her guitar player, actually. I even worked with that guy to produce my record. We did some good stuff together, but they didn't like his stuff. It was hard to beat my vision, you know? That's what they signed. They heard my recordings and went, oh, my God, what is this? This is incredible. And so now you're going to try to beat, you know, that original. That's like, you know, Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin, and then, oh, this is amazing. All right, find a producer. It's already there. That's the sound you like. Why change it?
Why try to change it?
Yeah, so.
What we're going to do, we're going to go for another ride here. Sweet. This one's going to be different. This is called I'm a Man, and this is going to show the other side of where you're at. And I think everybody out there is going to be a little bit surprised. Here's I Am a Man by Leroy Miller.
Yeah. gonna change the way that I am now. But you never seen the mind when I was laying you down. No. Oh, but I ain't gonna lie. I just don't need all this drama. No. Cause I am a said we're nothing. Oh, I won't break the cycle. I just don't need all this.
All right.
Yeah, what about that?
We are back, man. 7:30 here at the Music Ranch. We got Leroy Miller with us and Greg the Rockstar Creasy. All right. You know why we call him the Rockstar, don't you?
No, I don't.
He's a geologist.
Oh, okay. I just thought, well, this guy must have been in a famous band or something.
No, but I'll tell you what, he knows music inside and out. So well, what did you have for Leroy, Greg?
Well, you do all your own instruments on recording. On this one, too? Do you do everything?
My albums, I create 100% myself. I play all the instruments. I do the engineering, the mixing, the mastering. I mean, really, it's out of necessity. It all started out of necessity because I got tired of waiting for people to come over and then overcharging me. And then I'd have to go back and redo it anyways because they suck.
And you can do it yourself? Why not?
Yeah. And so over the years, you kind of develop these skills. So now I've gotten to the point where I'm very confident in from top to bottom in album creation. And I have complete control. So my vision is my vision in the end, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you could hear it, too.
Thank you.
Well, and you not only you do your own, but you do a lot for other folks too. You've mm-hmm. done a couple, 2-3 albums since you've been up here.
Yeah, right? I've been doing a lot of work. I produced Daniel Cosell's album.
Yeah,
and I did Grant Ferguson's album, mm-hmm. and I did a guy out of Billings. His name is Keith Myrie, and he's fantastic. He's this guy that he just sort of sang around the house his whole life, and now he's starting to do coffee shops, but he's got this voice. I'm like, dude, your voice sounds like Neil Diamond or something. It's a quality. He has a quality voice.
That's awesome.
And cool songs. And so working with him has been a lot of fun because I get to develop the talent because there's this little flicker of light in there. And if you got that, I can work with that.
Well, and he's all ears, too. I mean, he was relative of one of the Garretts. And,
exactly true.
Yeah.
Those Garretts are related to everybody.
There's a lot of them. Yeah. They are.
I know. They're good people, too.
They are. And, in fact, Charlie, I just talked to Charlie. We're doing the Billy Waldo concert up at Rodeo Grounds. And that's the one I tried to push on to you, but you were booked.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen on the 14th, and Charlie's doing sound for us up there.
Okay.
Hey, listen, we're going to do Just Not Right. And while we're doing that, I'm going to have you tune up the guitar because we're going to have you do the song we talked about live, the one that I don't have.
Good time.
Good time.
Okay, I'll go tune it up.
All right, here we go. This is Just Not Right, Leroy Miller.
that is a delicious adult beverage. What is that?
Well, that's Willie's Montana Honey Moonshine.
Where's Willie's?
Well, take 85 South from Belgrade, 8 miles to Four Corners, then ride on 84 West past the Madison River. Don't forget your fly rod, 29 miles to the Norris Junction. Stop at the stop sign and go left for 16 miles. Pull into the town pump in Ennis and ask them, where's Willie's? Or you could just ask for it at your local watering hole. Willie's Distillery, Spirits of the American West, 312 Main, Ennis, Montana, williesdistillery.com.
All right, a great sponsor, Independent Artist Spotlight, Willie's. We know where Willie's is at. It's right here on my desk.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So we got Leroy tuned up here. Just, you know, one thing about Leroy,
he'll
grab a guitar off the wall and just go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, baby.
So this is a song that was on Scrubs. And how many downloads do you say this was? I mean, on YouTube, it was like millions.
I started counting because everybody was making videos using the song.
Right.
All these college kids and then just people in Europe and stuff. And I stopped counting at 10 million.
Wow.
I was like, I'm satisfied.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll
work. It could be 11 million. But
when
what
I
the
hit
heck?
5 million, I was like, we're going to keep counting. About 10 million, I was like, all right, I think I'm done with this. I'm flattered.
Well, here's Leroy. I'm going to give you a little grease here if you're all right with that.
Yeah, let's hear what this sounds like. Southern California. All along you never loved me, baby, till the day that you shut me off. And now that it's over, I hope that you find what you're after now. So are you having a good time? Your friends and your French wine. So now I'm gonna warn you that there's only so much I could hold. Are you having a good time? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like a movie star, yes. No diamond in your fancy car. And there ain't nothing I can do about it. Spending money never mattered, no. As long as daddy paid the damn bill, yeah, yes. And now that you're living on the hill, I hope that your social life doesn't get you killed, y'all. So are you having a good time with your friends and your friends' wives? So now I'm gonna warn you that there's only so much I can hold. Are you having a good time? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Roller coasters, holy roller. I got shot down in Southern California. All along you never loved me, yeah, till the day that you shot me off. And now that it's over, I hope that you find what you after. Now, 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 you happy? With your friends and your French wine. So now I'm gonna warn you that there's only so much I can hold, baby. Are you having a good time? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
top gal. High society, it ain't easy. No, it ain't easy, baby, no. It ain't easy, no, no. It ain't easy, woman, no. It ain't easy being on top gal.
Wow.
You think that sounds cool? You should be sitting here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's unreal, man.
I like this guitar.
Do you now? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. When you come and do a solo gig at the Roadhouse, you could use that one.
Yeah, ooh, I will.
How's that sound? Yeah.
Since I don't own any acoustic guitars anymore.
Man, that was a performance like there, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's all I could think about the whole time he's doing it. I'm going, God, we got to get him in the Roadhouse.
Man, I'd love to play.
That's all right. We're going to discount the tickets, too. They're usually $500. And
they're going to be $450.
Yeah. Oh man, that was awesome.
That was fun. You know what I really liked? I liked the reverb. Thank you.
Did you?
Yeah, as soon as the reverb kicked, then I was like, "Oh, we're cooking with gas now."
That's right. That's right.
And that was fun.
Yeah, cool. And that man, I mean, if you look up Leroy Miller on YouTube, you're going to see that song everywhere.
Yeah,
and if you really look hard, you're going to see pictures of Leroy hanging off of the trusses on stage with Smash Mouth with no shirt on and doing crazy stuff. I always tell people, that's what I was telling Curtis with a K the other night. He goes, "So this Leroy Miller guy." I go, "Listen to me, man. When you talk to this guy, he's just a whole different guy." But I said, "When that guy puts his Strat on, I mean, there's stuff that happens. Yeah. Right? His head spins around a couple times, green stuff come out, and he become a monster.
Things happen."
Yeah, so really excited about that.
You know what it is, Jimmy? It's like, and you know, you're a great player yourself, and I'm sure that you understand this fully. But for me as an artist, when I go to do a show, I mean, obviously I want to do the best that I can because I want people to enjoy it. But the only way that I can actually get on stage and do it and get to that place is I have to get into the zone. And over the years, that becomes like another one of your talents that you're able to flick that switch on. You could have the flu. You could have, you know, a phone call that like ruined your day. But when you get on stage, people in the audience don't care.
They don't.
You have to be able to get into that zone. And I've developed that, you know, over a long time, obviously. And so when I... Like you said, you become a monster. It's really about getting into that spot, that zone. It's like professional athletes, you know, when they go out on the court or the football field, they're going to get hurt unless they get in that zone.
And they leave it all on the stage,
on
the playing field. You know, and that's the thing. I've said this. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, is there's a lot of great players. You know what I mean? But there's very few great players, and there's a lot of great entertainers, but there's very few of them that are great players and entertainers, and that's the thing that I so like out here at the Roadhouse, because it's 40 people. They're not there to eat. They're not there to watch the ball game on the big screen behind you. They're here to see you, and you have to be not only a great singer, songwriter, musician, whatever, but you've got to be a great entertainer. And you, by all means, are a great entertainer.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy.
Oh, the energy you have on stage is amazing.
Oh, I remember at the Pollard when I seen all these cowboy hats out there, and when you stepped up to the microphone, and you know, they were all kind of wondering anyway, you know. And you said, "Daddy Leroy is in town."
I'm your neighbor.
Said, "I'm your neighbor."
Yeah, I said, "I'm your neighbor now."
And they were all like, "Yeah, boy."
Yeah. Howdy, neighbor. That was a fun show.
That was a fun show.
I'm going to be playing there.
October.
In October. So that'll be fun to go back there.
Yeah. And you're going to be, actually, you've got a lot of gigs coming up. You got next Thursday, you're going to be
Playing on Friday.
Or Friday?
This Friday down in Worland at the warehouse.
Warehouse, yeah.
That's going to be a barn burner.
Yep.
And then we're playing the weekend after that in Cody at the Silver Dollar Bar.
Yep.
And then we've got some other shows. I can't remember, but we are playing up in Helena.
I'm excited about that. That's August 5th because that's your – I think this is hilarious because a lot of people know my son has a band called the Clintons, which are a really top-notch regional act. And so Leroy is going to go open for the Clintons. And I told him, I said, you boys better do some homework.
Cause, oh, come on.
Because he comes loaded for bear, man. There ain't no slack in that.
It's going to be fun. You know what's going to be cool, though, is because the Clintons are a kick-ass band. You can't deny that. Yeah.
They're great entertainers.
They're going to do a great job regardless of who opens the show. But the thing that's going to be great is you're going to – they don't sound like me, and I don't sound like them.
No.
But you're going to get this high level of entertainment. So for people that are at that event, they're going to go home with a sense of like, man, we heard some cool bands. And I believe there's going to be a few more bands.
I think there's – last year I think there was four.
Well, I can only imagine that Levi's going to get some other great bands.
Yeah, you know, and the cool thing up there is Max Pigman that owns Lewis and Clark Brewing, they just put a $9 million expansion on that place.
Man.
And it was a great place before that. And I think they have three or four stages.
That is
But incredible. Their outdoor stage where you guys would be is, it's awesome. I mean, it's just, and I don't know how many people they can get there. It's not as big as it used to be at the Hauser, but because that was totally just kind of a beach party, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As many as you could shove on a beach, you know. But it's a great venue, and I guarantee you're going to be playing there a lot.
I can't wait.
Because they Max books some high test groups up there, you know.
Well, Helena has been one of those. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Missoula and Helena and are some of these like targeted areas that I've been wanting to go in. And then to have
you can pull that over to you.
Oh, yeah, I moved.
Relax, Leroy.
I moved it back because I was playing. Now I got to get.
Oh,
it back
there we
out.
Go. Then you got. Now you got that radio.
Now I'm back in the radio
the
mix.
Radio voice.
So I've been wanting to go up there. So when Levi, you know, called me and stuff, I was so stoked. Thank you, Jimmy. I know you had a lot to do with that.
I you know, other than he goes, hey, man, is Leroy still playing or is still here?
Yeah.
And because, you know, that was the thing. It was like, how long is Leroy going to hang around here? And I got to tell you, I've seen a lot come and a lot go. But when I seen on Facebook, you were in a tractor, I said, oh, God, he's hooked.
Farming now.
The guy's never leaving.
Well, tell him what you're doing next week or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like I've never really been a good employee because all I've ever done is play in bands and stuff. And
sure.
For 30 years, I never had to have any day gig. And I was on tour somewhere. So now that I'm up here, you know, I kind of take my own – I have my own pace. I live by my own sort of rules and pace up here. So – I've met a lot of farmers, and it all started because I'm building a house. So I'm building a tiny house on wheels. So I found this farmer guy who gave me this old RV trailer thing. So I stripped it down just to get the frame. And he came out there after a day, and it was done. And they're all like, dude, you're never going to have a day off working like that around here. I'm like, what do you mean? I just want to get this thing done. So they start calling me to like drive tractors.
What was the learning curve there for you?
To drive a
tractor. Yeah.
It was pretty easy. It was pretty easy. In fact, the tractor I was driving was almost automated.
Yeah.
It was a sexy, sexy vehicle. I mean, it's all like push button, and it's got a computer in it, and it's got a kick-ass stereo and air conditioning. I was just cranking like Zeppelin and just bouncing down the field. I will say, though, after bouncing around all day, I felt like I was riding a horse for about a year.
Yeah.
My internal organs were all like rearranged and
See,
stuff.
Pretty soon you're going to be going down a row in that tractor, and you'll have your recorder going writing music.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because really, that's the cool thing about farming. You could do a lot of
you
that.
You got
because
some time.
A lot of time to think, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
but no, it's easy extra cash, and it's the type of job that I can behave and
Well, you said you're going to be branding cattle coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be branding some cattle, and I'm, you know, they're like, yeah.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, all that is going to be going down. So, I mean, it's all just new experiences for me. So, you know, and, you know, they pay you pretty good to do it. Yeah. So, it's helping pay to build that house. So.
And it's a great way to... you know, it's addictive, and that's how you become a Montana.
Yeah, and I've met people, you know, because there's other people working and that are in the mix. And so I've made new friends and stuff, too, and it's,
well, good
and
deal.
It's cool.
Well, we're going to play another one of your songs because we could do a 3-hour or 4-hour show here, but unfortunately we're pushing time a little bit. But I want to do one off of Walla Walla, and... I'm trying to think of one here that really, My Way. I love
that's
that song.
A good one.
That's a good song. We're going to do My Way, and this is off your album, Walla Walla. And we'll, just real quick, that was your Nashville stint, right? Walla Walla?
No, actually, Walla Walla was before I moved to Nashville. I had started... I've always written like country style. It's not to me, it's not really country, but people would always go, man, that sounds like country music. I've always done that. I don't know where I get it, probably from watching a Dolly Parton show and Hee Haw with my dad. But I wrote all these songs and eventually I was like, you know, I'm gonna start recording some of this stuff. And so I did the Walla Walla album. And then I put together a little band, and I was playing around in Hollywood doing that because there's actually a lot of these sort of like country rock, southern rock bands in California right now. And so I did that for a bit, and then I split and went down to Nashville, and it didn't really work out for me in Nashville. I didn't click with it.
Didn't get in the groove.
No, something about the weather and just, I don't know. So something about, you know, honestly, no disrespect to Nashville, but I left LA for one reason. And Nashville was the same thing. It was just like LA. Same concept, just a different different set of clothes.
A lot of the guys you knew down in LA are now down in Nashville.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, that's what I love about Montana. I mean, I live out in the woods. I live off the grid. People don't bug me. The cliques, it's a whole different deal. Yeah, there's still people and cliques up here and stuff too, but it is just a different animal.
Right.
And I'm just a very private person, so I didn't.
Or maybe some of the cliques are, you know, maybe not from here. Maybe I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Probably. They're probably from California. So
here we go. Here's My Way by Leroy Miller. And
Mm-hmm.
Born Walla Walla, I was raised in Spokane. But the time must come. Young man leaves his home, and I knew that in my heart was California. So why you going my California?
sun is shining down on me. So why you going my way? California, now you're going my way. Oh yes, California. Ooh, when the sun is shining.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a song.
Yeah. And, we played that.
Yeah.
The other night at the front bar.
Oh, it was a great show. I was. It just amazed me because it was like Jerry Wilson told me. You know, Jerry lives probably, I don't know, 7-8 blocks, maybe 10 blocks away from downtown. And he said, you know, I had to do was step outside. And he said, the sound was great.
Yeah, I heard that. I went to the bank, and the guy, Dan at the bank, said, yeah, I live about 5 blocks away, and I could go out my front yard, and I could hear it great. It sounded awesome. Yeah. I was like, are you serious?
Oh, yeah, it was perfect. In fact, you know, I left the Pollard. We were driving the street. I had the window down, and I could hear you in that first block up.
Yeah. Well, the manager, Bonnie, down there said that they didn't have one complaint, and they were expecting the cops to come give them a sound ticket. Not one.
Nobody said a word.
No, nobody wants
everybody
to
play. Had fun.
Nobody wants to mess with the dirty blues. When it's dirty, you get away with it, you know.
That's right. I mean, all you and them older folks were out there tap dancing. You know?
Yeah, it was good. I met a lot of people that I'd never met in Red Lodge before that were really sweet people.
Real receptive.
That were there all night, bought CDs, super supportive, hung out afterwards, talked to me. It was a really good time.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to get you sometime in August.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll have to figure it out what date works for you.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about it because I have a few gigs in August.
And I do, too. So that's a weird thing. Musicians, we got to figure out that slot. I got David Starr coming in on a Thursday night, which I don't know if that's even a bad idea. That's you know, it's a 7-9 gig, so it might not be a bad idea to throw it in on a Thursday or something, too.
Sure.
Okay, it easily works.
So it works either way. Man, we have blown through our hour here.
I know. It went by so fast.
But we're going to play a couple more. Cool. You know, here's the deal. I watched the numbers, and so it's Mountain Standard time. So as we start to get close to the 8 o'clock hour, now we're starting to really fill up because I'm sure people are going, all right, it's 7 o'clock, you know, out on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And which means it's 8 o'clock here, folks. But we appreciate everybody tuning in. We're going to play a few more here from Leroy because we don't get a chance to get somebody in the studio like Leroy. And so we'll play Tell Me You Love Me. I like that song a lot. And then we're going to come back with Leroy. And we might have you do it. Can you do another?
Absolutely.
All right.
You got nowhere to go right now.
No.
Okay. There we go.
Good.
Here you go. Leroy Mills.
I'd know. If I could change my ways, you know I would. Oh yeah, so just tell me that you love me every day, yeah. I got this house and these bills and these kids to live for it. Tell me that you need me and you'll stay, yeah. Well, sometimes things ain't like is hard.
That song's called Love Me Every Day, by the way. Not it is. Tell me you love me.
Oh.
Yeah, but
it could be.
That's okay.
It could be, yeah.
I was thinking, what song is he going to play when you said that?
Well, you know, I'm not dyslexic either, which is kind of weird, but I do have a little trouble with the bifocals. So
that's okay.
They were down on the end of my nose when that happened. We're going to get Leroy to do another live song because, man, the last one blew us away.
Yeah, cool.
And this is kind of like our own little concert here. You know, Greg
and I
get to, we get to take advantage of this. So here we go. This is Leroy Miller with his choice.
You know, I'm going to do a song off the same album that you just played, the last couple of songs, Walla Walla, which is kind of more of a roots. It's a little more acoustic guitar and stuff rather than the dirty blues type sound. This is a song called Chance of a Lifetime.
Cool.
Okay. Let me see if I can get this mic right in the right spot.
Is nothing could save the day. That you would talk to a stranger. Yeah, listen what they had to say. The truth is often, yes, a big red lie. Whatever you believe in, yeah, it better bring it to your knees. This is really worth the price. Now knowing what I sacrifice. Hell yes. This is the chance of a lifetime. And I'm not gonna throw it away. No, no, no. Hell yes. Cause this is the chance of a lifetime.
Sitting this close.
You know, it's too bad it's radio and not TV,
yeah,
because you guys don't know how cool this is. And I've had a lot of artists in the studio here, but this is something special here.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just been an awesome night. So we're going to pick, you pick one of your songs that you, hopefully if I've got it, I don't know. And we're gonna end this little deal.
You know what might be kind of cool? We'll end it maybe on a up-tempo song. Maybe something like Going Back Home would be good, or...
All right.
Yeah, we're going back home. Let's get a little Dirty Blues happening.
All right, man. We want to thank you for coming in, Leroy. Well, taking the time out from farming and playing.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Building your tiny home and
all
the stuff that you got going.
Dude,
man,
your support has been really, really special, and it means a lot to me. And really, you were the catalyst that got me thinking about moving up here, because you were like, dude, you will kill it up here.
You would. And you will.
Wow.
And he is.
And he is. Yeah.
There's something going on here. This guy got through to me, so I appreciate all your words of wisdom and all your support. Well, I do appreciate it.
You know, it's just great to have you here. And we love bringing great talent to Montana, you know, because you don't have to be in L.A., you know, you just don't.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, man. That's the way it is. All right, we're going to end the show. We appreciate everybody that tuned in tonight. And next week we'll be back, and we'll tell you a little later in the week who's going to be here next week. And for myself and Greg Creasy, Greg the Rockstar Creasy, and for Leroy Miller, here's Going Back Home with Leroy.
So I'm going back home to the place where I even though I drink and fight. She could hail, oh, any man.